Well, this is Hannah Lazar.
And Tiffany the Lass.
And Tiffany's daughter.
Sylvia.
And we're here at North Coast Repertory Theater after viewing the dress rehearsal of The Tin Soldier.
Red window panes, candles gleaming inside, painted candy canes on the tree.
We are sitting here with Joe Powers, the director of their latest play, The Tin Soldier. Hi, Joe.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Thanks for sitting with us your show and letting us come and see the dress rehearsal. It was so fun to see the Hans Christian Andersen story brought to life on stage.
Do you know the story?
Yeah, we're familiar with the story. And so it was neat to see the similarities and the differences going on.
Yeah, there's the biggest difference, I think. Well, not the biggest difference, but one of them is he has one arm and not one leg, of course, because it'd be kind of hard to hop around on stage with one leg for an hour or so, wouldn't it? And she's really fleshed out and brought in, you know, she's, if you read the story, the sewer rat, you know, he's briefly there, but here he becomes a bit of a hero. And because he is the one, and it's almost the Beauty and the Beast type thing. Okay, this is the monster because he's been labeled the monster. So we don't want to prejudge. Come sit down, Fred.
And in the Sophia, when we were reading the story, that was one of the questions you were wondering, right?
Yeah, how could he hop around on the stage the whole time, or stand on his leg the whole time?
And the ballerina, too, because in the story she does.
Well, that's why he falls in love with the ballerina, too, is because he recognizes her because she's in this permanent arabesque, and she's on one leg, and he goes, oh, well, you know, there's somebody like me, she's got one leg. This is Fred Harlow, he plays the goblin.
Hi, there.
Stay away!
Is the goblin scary to you?
No.
You did a good job.
You did. I liked how, you know, in the rat just kind of reminds this tin soldier, you're going out and looking for bullies and trouble and something to face, yet you should really look close to home. And your character really embodies that. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about your character?
Well, it's, I started with John Lithgow. With his voice, and then I also had George Saunders, who from the Disney movie The Jungle Book, played this snake, and the way he'd say Shere Khan. Mm-hmm. So I love that deep guttural thing. But then I wanted to go the high pitches like John Lithgow in Third Rock from the Sun. It's me, and throw in a little bit of Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror Picture Show and came up with that. But I'm still playing around with it. I try to bring something new to every rehearsal, and then about 2 weeks into the production, I think I have found as much as I can find. But then once the production's closed, guaranteed I will bolt out of bed and think, why didn't I think of doing this? So I apologize now for not thinking of it.
Be sure and call me.
Well, as a person in the audience, we love your character. I mean, we love to hate your character.
I'm trying to go for a split of just the evil for the kids, but I'm doing a lot of it for the parents and for the grandparents, just to have a good time.
And for those of you that are thinking about bringing your children to this play and wondering if it might be too scary or frightful, it's not. It comes across really fun, and you definitely get the feeling of what they're doing, but it's all in good fun. So we're also sitting here with one of the Tin Soldiers, and can you introduce yourself for our listeners?
Yes, my name is John Tesmer, and I also play the Pike in the show.
He's the big fish head.
Ooh. So the fish, the pike, swallows the tin soldier while he bravely goes into the sewer and trying to take revenge against the rat. Can you tell us about that?
Well, you just gave it away, but that is that is indeed what happens. And it's almost a parallel to like Jonah in the whale in a Bible story, or just the way that any hero has to go sort of to the underworld and find out what he's made of before he comes back. So it's a very exciting.
And this is a special play, right, Joe, because it's geared toward children and adults that remember their childhood. And North Coast Repertory Theater normally puts on highly intellectual plays, and this one is really fun because it captures our hearts during a holiday time, right?
Yeah, and I think that was our big focus. We have the main stage that does its seven or so shows a year, seven, sometimes eight shows a year, which are mostly adult fare. And then we have the theater school, which does theater for young audiences and theaters for families. But what we wanted to do is merge the two together so that we have something that's on our main stage, but it's for families and for the holiday. We wanted to be able to offer something, as you say, with a lot of heart and a story that if you're 5 years old, you can come and watch it, and if you're 95 years old, you can come and watch it, and there's something in it for each of you. So if you just know the fairy tale, you can recognize the characters. You can go, oh, there's the tin soldier. Oh, there's the paper dancer. Oh, there's the goblin. If you're a little bit older, you can say, oh, maybe we shouldn't prejudge people. Or it goes a little bit older and it just becomes a nice story that's fleshed out that anybody can enjoy.
Exactly. I like that about this play. I felt like it wasn't necessarily just for children. And
no, and that was why we picked it. It you know, there's a lot of stories that, you know, if you view them or if you listen to them or read them, are very definitive into what their audience was. And we just wanted something that was multi-generational, something that would, you know, you don't have to bring a kid, but please do. I mean, but you can still come and say, okay, this was a nice play for the holidays. It makes me feel, you know, pretty good. And, you know, and it's about, you know, being a hero. It's about sticking to your guns. It's about being steadfast, loyal, and true, and sticking to what you believe in, no matter what you encounter.
And we're here for the dress rehearsal, but it was really fun having children in the audience.
Yeah.
It, you know, throughout the audience, it reminded me of, you know, the author that did the Peter Pan, and he put children in the audience, and it brought to life moments that we all feel inside, but children will react outwardly and verbally, and it's nice. It gives an extra part to that play, and the actors seem to you all seem to really take that to heart, and you're able to ignore all the children screaming. And
well, it's going to be an interesting part of performing it. Now we've of course been rehearsing mostly amongst ourselves for weeks, and of course the audience is the last part of the equation, and we're doing it for them to share it with them, and so we want them involved, and so we're going to have to figure out when to ignore, when to react, when to interact with audience responses. And it's just great to have people here, adults and children. So we're looking forward to that part of the process.
We're also sitting here with the Tin Soldier himself. Can you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Joshua.
Hi, good job.
Oh, thank you very much.
Throughout this whole play, the Tin Soldier, you know, carries a very gay and lighthearted, looking up in the sky, kind of innocent face. Is that hard to manage for the whole entirety of the play?
Joe and I have worked with this a lot, and he very much is. I mean, everything's new to him, and he's pure of heart. He's not tainted, and very much a naivete and an innocence to him. And he's very driven. He has a purpose, and he's very focused on that purpose, and it's pure. And it is, as we talk about, because it's much easier to, you know, as most actors will tell you, and you see the piece that's very heavy and dark and lots of screaming anger, and it's very easy to go to that place, and it's much harder to find that place that's always,
yes,
that's always pure. You know,
uh-huh.
he doesn't. So he's not, you know, he doesn't know. He's not sarcastic. He's not rude. He doesn't get. He's not angry.
The actress doing the paper doll, she manages to do that as well, and keeps a part of the paper. You know, she also plays the spider, but definitely keeps a part of those two characters melded together on stage. And I like, she has a strong connection with you. Did you guys work a lot to have that connection, or were you friends before? Because it comes across on stage that you guys definitely have succeeded in doing that.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I think we have a good rapport going. And no, I hadn't met her prior to our first rehearsal. But I think that it developed also. I wouldn't have had the same if I think it was a great part, great move on Joe's part, casting her as the paper dancer and the spider, and because they both, you know, the spider's words, as you see in the very beginning, carry me, and I carry that because A, and mm-hmm. and you know, she's the first person I encounter in this journey that I go through before I return home, and I think that was a really good move because of doing that. I think that built that connection, and if it had been two separate people playing the paper dancer and the spider, I think it would have been much more difficult to maintain that same mutual attraction that now it carries over so well.
Yeah, that was a really good addition.
We have James Patterson and Allison Finn.
And James and Allison, you're playing the rag doll, correct?
And the UFT and the owl.
Oh.
I'm all the et cetera roles.
So you like the tin soldier, when you're playing the rag doll, carry a very specific face and body throughout your whole performance. So was that difficult for you to...
Well, it was just going into it, you realize that's part of the character, and you're just, okay, well, I have to be limp all the time, and it's nice in a way because I already have that model for me. There is the doll, and so I know what to go off of, and it's not, yes, I'm creating the character, but I'm basing it off of something, so it's easier in a way, almost.
And as trash.
And as trash. It's really fun. It's definitely something I don't normally do.
Those costumes were great.
Yeah,
the way you did that.
Yeah, that's Jennifer Ma in the costume. We have two more of the company members in here, Ted Reese and Mark Christopher Lawrence.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Great job, guys.
Thank you.
And these two actors play two or three different roles.
Two different roles apiece, and I'm also a puppeteer for the pike.
And we just, you know, I love your performance as a tin soldier. You guys, when you guys are all doing your loud stomping all around, you really, this theater is so cool because it's so small and the audience feels like they're in the nursery, and you guys did a great job in being loud, not being afraid to be loud, not being afraid to stomp around.
I've never been accused of that.
And you do such a great job as the rat. We loved your performance as the rat.
Thank you. Really, it was fun playing the rat.
he's one of the ones that turn out to be a hero that we didn't expect to be a hero. Lines that tell us this is one of his lines that tells what's happening in the story. What's the exact line? If you're looking.
Sometimes if it's monsters you're after, it's best to look closer to home.
Can you give us a little rat voice in character?
A little rat voice. Some of that, like a rat.
And then can you give us a little Captain of the Guards?
Little Sergeant Major!
One question I had, and in the book, it was more like the tin soldier. It wasn't a choice to go on the trip to become a hero. That's what we thought. And it was really nice that on his journey, he did become friends with everybody. And then in the book, we were so frightened of the rat in the sewer. Do you remember that, Sophia?
Kind of.
And that you turned out to be a friend was really nice.
Well, I think that's the interesting thing that happens to him, because as he's on his journey, he's a new toy. He's a toy that's going out, and because he's never been out in the world before, and he keeps meeting these different creatures, the unspeakable floating thing, which says, if you're a paper dancer, if it wasn't, what does he say about, I would fall in love with you myself, because you're a nice guy. You know, we don't get nice guys down here. So everybody he encounters, he makes friends with. So again, it's don't prejudge who and what people can be. You know, the sewer rat, unspeakable floating thing, mice, the spider. These are all the things that keep him going. And when he gets back there, or when he's in the belly of the fish and he's trying to figure out, you know, where do I go from here? He pulls all that back. And he says the mice, the sewer rat, they all helped me, and a spider. So it's don't judge. You know, figure it out for yourself.
Two of the characters that immediately started us laughing throughout the play, and we were excited to see a lot of, were the mice. So how did you come up with the caricatures of playing that mouse?
Really, the the idea behind it. Well, Joe told us to watch mice and really get into the characteristics of how small they are and how meticulous they are about all their gestures, you know, just simple face movements and keeping everything in a small realm because they are such small animals. And so it was mainly just remembering that, you know, you're not a human. You got to go with these little tiny animals' minds too. It's just getting inside their skin and playing around with their body.
And the two of you seem to be childlike, and also I think this might be for more of the adults humor, but you were able to bring in kind of, it seemed like marital, like common stereotypes in marriages and kind of an old school way of looking at things, but also bringing it, you know, it's for everyone.
Like Gleason and Alice.
Yeah. It's great. It's funny for the kids. It's funny for the adults, and the mice really bring that.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, that was nice to see. So, for people that are thinking of bringing their children also, it might be a good idea to have your children sit down and read with your children the original story from Hans Christian Andersen, which is called The Steadfast Soldier.
It's called The Steadfast Tin Soldier.
Yeah.
And it would be very good to read because it is a little bit different. You might also explain to them that the major difference between what they're reading, because they're reading something in a narrative style, that what we do is with action and dialogue. So how would they think it would be if it was to come out of the book itself? Let them visualize it. Talk to them about what it would be like if I were to see this come to life. Not as a cartoon, but, you know, come to life. And then make a comparison as how they would do it. How would you make these, you know, let's say the tin soldier with one leg hop around on stage, what would you do? I'd give him one arm. Maybe you'd do something else. I don't know. But think about that, because that's the big difference. And we also have a narrator which bridges the gaps in the story of things you might not could do or you have to make the connect up. So he'll tell us and set the situation up for us. And he's doing it so wonderfully with music as well.
Are there quite a few adaptions for the theater? Or do you make those changes yourself as the director?
No, this was Karina Wilson. I saw this play at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in 1998, and then did it once again in 1999, and then after that, I just really liked it. I like adaptations that stay real close to the original story. I sometimes adapt Fairy to Grimm's Brothers, and I try to stay close to the Grimm's Brothers in that. So I look for adaptations that if you read the book, you would recognize the story, mm-hmm. not something that would drift too far out of it.
And if you're listening to this and you're a high school teacher and you want to bring your class to something before the holiday break, this would be an excellent way of introducing theater to your students, and you could use it as you know, a great writing assignment. So thank you all for meeting with us. Can you give us a big arr for Pirate Pods? That's great. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, guys.
Sophia, what was your favorite part of the interview?
It was so I could see their faces without the makeup on and them without their costumes on.
Did you recognize all of the characters?
I didn't recognize the mouse because the makeup was on and I didn't really see his real face, so.
Did you recognize the rat?
Yeah.
He was really good with it.
Yeah.
Did you recognize the tin soldier?
Yeah.
Wishes you and yours the same thing too.
Merry Christmas.